Anyway, in the book of Ezra, if you will, please, we're in Ezra chapter 1, Ezra chapter number 1, and I appreciate these motorcycles. I'm going to miss them, and it's just a real cool thing. Velma, are you back? You missed yourself. We showed your picture. Where were you? You were on the road. Like that old country song, on the road again. Okay, anyway, it was good. Everyone loved your picture. It was great. So we're in the book of Ezra in the Old Testament, the book of Ezra, and we'll pray and give a little of the background here and then just go from there. Our theme this year is building and rebuilding. And the book of Ezra and Nehemiah epitomize those two words as much or more than any book in the Bible. It's all about building. And you do realize when we read passages like this, God is not just trying to make us curious about contracting. It's not about bricks. It's not about a foundation and a roof and building materials. The application is building a church, building a ministry, building a relationship with God, building a relationship with a mate, with your kids, with your grandkids, building a relationship with the lost, your neighbors, people that we're trying to influence. And so there's a lot of applications here. So here we are. I don't have to tell you to put your cell phones up. I know you've already got them up. So let's have a prayer, and then I'll give you the background. I think we'll be out just right on time. Father, would you bless this time we have tonight? We have been blessed by the specials from the young men, and then the trio just now, the choir special, just everything tonight. Thank you for the activity, the fun, the excitement, the joy in serving you. Thank you for putting the icing on the cake today, visitors. And Lord, one of the bus routes is back. Fairfield's been back a long time, but Vallejo is back. And we're so excited. Full shuttle, full passenger van, drive-ins, just some great things happening. Thank you for your work and using people in Jesus' name. Amen. The book of Ezra, here's the background quickly. It's called a post-captivity book. Post means after. Pre is before. Captivity. Who is in captivity? It is the nation of Israel. God's chosen people, they've turned their back on God. They've started worshiping idols. They've gotten away from Him. There's immorality, a lot of wickedness. It would remind you much of America. And so God says, I've had enough. I'm not, you're my chosen people, but I'm holy. I'm just. I've got to judge you. Much like America is being judged now. Not going to be judged. We're in a time of judgment right now. Turn on the radio. Turn on the television. Look at the headlines. See what's allowed. See what's now accepted. See what's being pushed. See the agenda. And now even AI is writing my sermons. I mean, it's going crazy. Well, Pastor, can we blame AI on the bad ones? Yes, mine are the good ones. Okay. And so they were in a time of judgment. And all God had to do was lift His hand of safety. Maybe that's what happened at 9/11. I can't say for sure everything God does. Maybe He just said, oh yeah? And He just lifted His hand. And then those planes came in. You just wonder how much protection God has spared us from already. How many nuclear bombs? How many atom bombs? Who knows what His hand has stopped? But after a while He says, you don't need me anymore. You'd rather curse my name. You want to laugh at my book and shred it at meetings. Okay, I'll just back off and see how you do. And so Nebuchadnezzar came in. He conquered Jerusalem. 3 different attacks. He takes them away as slaves. He takes the young men, Daniel. He takes Ezekiel. He leaves Jeremiah, those prophets. He comes back, takes the craftsmen, then destroys the temple, destroys the wall, and leaves the poor people. How many of you would have been left behind? Humbly lift your hand, all right? How many of you have been taken on the first load? The upper echelon. Okay. Some of you say, I don't even know what that word means. You would have been left behind. All right. And so what takes place now? After decades, God does a miracle. And he starts working in King Cyrus's heart. Nebuchadnezzar's now passed off the scene. Cyrus is the new leader. And somehow in the heart of the wicked king, God says, let them leave. Let my people go back to Jerusalem, back to Israel. And you make a command that they rebuild their temple. Is that not strange? And if you'll study, King Cyrus's name is mentioned years before this. It says, King Cyrus by name will order the rebuilding of the temple. So he opens the Bible and says, I'm going to do what? And somehow, maybe that puts pressure on him and he says, I want to be a part of God's prophecy. Go rebuild the temple. And so what takes place here? We see a remnant comes back. Most did not. Folks, it's always the few that do the work. It's always the few that are paying the price. It was the remnant. Not all of the people came back. They were comfortable in Babylon. They liked that city life. They liked the things that they had. Their home was Jerusalem and Israel. They said, no, we're going to stay here. And so I just want to draw several conclusions from this tonight and give you this. Number one, we see the Lord. Just one word statement, the Lord. Notice, please, in chapter 1, verse 1, now, the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he had made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it in writing, saying, thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth. He hath charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem. So it was the Lord. It's always the Lord's job. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. We can put forth effort, but it's the Lord's work. A marriage is the Lord. Child rearing is the Lord. You can do it all by the book and somehow something doesn't work. It's the Lord that does that. It was the Lord that was here this morning. It was the Lord that's been showing up every week the last 6-7 weeks and something's going on here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. It's the Lord. It's not our credit. Bottle Rock will have a few more people than we'll have next week. They'll have a bigger crowd, but will the Lord be in the middle of that crowd doing his work that he's doing here? So we see the Lord. See, the building is not important until what's going on inside is important. When we first built this two-story building and wrapped around the old cinder block building, many people thought this was a new winery because of the arches. We actually had our first Sunday, we had a whole group of tourists taking pictures in front of the church building. They thought it was a winery, Hopewell Winery. You know, we could sell wine after church and maybe make a little money. These modular buildings, 1990, we put those in. We bought them secondhand. Basically, we paid for the air. And we assembled those together. We bought 7, assembled 3 and 2 and 2, and put the tin roof on them, put them on a foundation. Guess what they were before? Science labs. They still had the test tubes in them. In fact, there was a few people growing. No. But there were test tubes in there and the Bunsen burner type things. And I looked and I said, look at this. Science labs. To Sunday school classes. Amen. It wasn't just the buildings that were important. It was what was going on in the inside. We have number one, the Lord. Number two, we see choice. In chapter 1, verse 3, who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him and let him go up to Jerusalem. And it's an interesting statement. When we were in Israel, they would say, let's go up to Jerusalem. Sometimes, geographically, the town you were in was above Jerusalem. You were actually going down to Jerusalem. But in Israel, anytime you go to Jerusalem, you always say we're going up to Jerusalem. How come? When you go to the temple, it's always a step up. You're always going up. So when we come to church, we're always going up to the church.
Amen.
Okay. Real impressed with that. Forget it. I won't say that again. But he said, who is going to go up to Jerusalem and help rebuild the temple? And then in verse 5, then rose up the chief of the fathers of Judah and Benjamin and the chief and the Levites and all them whose spirit God had raised to go up to build the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem. So here's what happens. God moved upon Cyrus's heart. God moved his spirit, his attitude. Something in him said, hey, I want to build this temple. And then he said, you can go back to Jerusalem. You can build the temple. Whoever wants to go can. And guess who went? Those whose spirits stirred up inside of them and said, we're going. Come on, pack up. We're going to Jerusalem. You know, that's what the Lord does. The Lord's spirit works on people's spirit, and he stirs up a desire and says, you could do that. You need to be doing that. You need to get back at that. That's him giving us a spirit to be involved in his work. And then we see number three, we see the word giving. Those who stayed behind, verse 6, and all they that were about him strengthened their hands with vessels of silver and gold and goods and with the beasts and the precious things beside all that was willingly offered. What's that mean? Like we said the other night when the missionary was here, those that stayed gave. So before they could rebuild the temple, somebody had to give.
Amen.
With a guy years ago helped in the sound booth. We'd have a give-it-all Sunday once a year. Get this, a whole paycheck.
Wow.
We don't do it anymore. All those people left. And we're having a give-it-all Sunday. Give a whole paycheck. One of our men in the church called it Cough It Up Sunday. He said, Pastor, how much we got to cough up this Sunday? I said, a whole paycheck. He said, I'm giving my whole paycheck. He said, all right, cough it up Sunday. And here's where it starts. Everyone ought to be a giver. We don't talk a whole lot about giving Sunday mornings. We ought to. What are we supposed to give? Number one, our tithes. The Bible says the tithe belongs to the Lord. It is already his. So you get a paycheck, you get $1,000 this week. The first 100 is God's. You keep it, you have robbed God. You give it to him, you're simply giving him back that which is his.
Amen.
It's not a big deal. I mean, you're paying your rent. I doubt your landlord sends you a thank you letter every month. Thank you for paying your rent. Does he drop by and give you groceries? And hey, it's a bottle of wine. Thank you for paying rent. I'm so thankful. Hey, if you don't pay it, he kicks you out. You get a 5-day notice or whatever it is now, and man, you're out on the street. And so the Lord says, the tithe is mine. An offering is anything above that.
Right, amen.
Our pastor taught us to tithe. I was second grade. I was 7. If I earned a dollar, I gave my first dime to the Lord, then something to missions. Mm-hmm. Missions is over that. And so these people, they learned to give. Heard about a man, and the pastor said, you want to be blessed financially? Start tithing. You won't be rich, but you'll be blessed. The man made $5 a week. He started giving 50 cents every week. God blessed him. Soon he made $50 a week. He gave $5 a week. I'm doing the math, trying to help you. Soon he was making $500 a week. So he gave the first 50 to the Lord. Then he graduated up to $5,000 a week. That's when he needed to make an appointment with the pastor. Pastor, you know how much money I'm making every week? No, how much? $5,000. He said, okay. He said, you know what the tithe is on $5,000? That's $500 a week. That's a lot of money. I don't think I can afford to tithe $500 a week. Pastor said, that's easy. Let's pray he puts you back to $5 a week. It's all the Lord's.
Amen.
Let me encourage you. Summer's starting to come. We all need vacations. We all need trips. Nothing wrong with that. Mickey Mouse needs our money at $489 for 3 days. The motels need our money. The gas needs our money. All these things. Government wants your money. But you want to keep tithing all summer. You're out of town, leave your tithing to us. Or is that a bus commercial? I forget what that is. You wanna church keeps going on, the Lord keeps going on, you wanna tithe.
Amen.
Don't be tempted when money comes your way not to tithe off of that. Amen. Well, that's a lot of money. It was a lot of blood on that cross. You had a lot of sins. It's,
Amen. Amen. That's good.
Our character is always revealed through our money.
Right.
Billy Graham said, show me a man's relationship with his money, I'll always show you a relationship with his God. If you can't be trusted with money, he says, how can God trust you with the big eternal things? He says, the power of God, influence, souls. How can he trust us with that if he cannot trust us with the other? Then number next, we see there's groups listed here. This is interesting. And so in the book of Ezra, God lists the groups of people that go back to Jerusalem. Hundreds of names. Many, it says this family, this group, these names, some individuals. Look just quickly. We're not going to read all 42,000. But notice, it says in chapter 2, verse 1, now these are the children of the province that went up out of the captivity. Those who had been carried away, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, who had carried unto Babylon, came again unto Jerusalem, unto Judah, everyone unto his city, which came with Zerubbabel. That's the leader's name. It starts off saying, without Zerubbabel, they wouldn't have gone back. And let me just encourage you. That's the problem with our nation right now. We don't have a leader. We don't have a leader in the White House. I said it. We don't have a leader in the Vice President's house. I don't even know if she's there. We don't have I'm just going to say it. I like the guy in Florida. I like DeSantis. He's got a backbone. He has stood up to the nation. He has said, you want the... he has stood up to Disney. He has said, hey, we don't have two sets of rules in this state. You're going to pay and you're not going to be your own little country. Boy, I like that a lot. The reason they're wanting him to run for president, I don't know if he's got a shot at it or not, but the reason his state and many people, they're saying, a leader, how rare. And I'm sure he's not perfect, and I'm sure he's not independent Baptist, but he is leading, he's setting a direction, he's saying we're not backing down, and right is right, wrong is wrong. Boy, I like that. We've not seen one of those in a long time. And now we got a couple who are governors, and a couple, and I don't know if they'll make it in. I don't know, but that's free. I just threw this out, a little political, and I can't even say it, political announcement. But we see these groups, Zerubbabel. He says, hey, let's go back. Let's build the temple. He cast a vision and some people said, we're going with you. Now, that's what leadership is, young men that are here tonight. Leaders are shepherds. Come on. Bah, bah, bah. They're not cowboys driving the horses and driving the cattle. They're shepherds. Somehow you've got to create a desire in the followers with God's help to say, they're going somewhere. I want to go where he's going.
Amen.
And that's what marriage is about. Marriage is about a man who falls in love with God that says, this is the direction I want to go. I want to do something for God. And a woman looks around and says, I'll do anything to help you with that direction.
Amen.
That's how it's supposed to be.
Amen.
So we have Zerubbabel. That's one group, these leaders. And then notice what it says here in verse 2. And it names some famous people. It says Jeshua, Nehemiah, see the leaders, Seraiah, Realiah, Mordecai, you remember hearing of him, and then Mizpar, Bigva, and his wife, Lilva, and the little kids, Mediumva. Okay, Rehum, Baana, the number of men of the people of Israel. So it said there was a group of leaders. Then there was a group of men. Isn't that something? God actually knew which gender they were. God had not lived in 2023. He called them a man. He didn't get sued for a wrong pronoun description. God was not afraid. He said, and the men.
Amen. Amen.
What's America need? We need men.
Amen.
Not males. We need men. We need some men who are not afraid to say, this is who I am. I'm not a woman. I'm not crossing over. This is who God made me. I like it or not, here's who I am. I'm born a man. I'm staying a man. I'm going to live by a man. these groups. Men who lead. Men who seek Him. Men who are pure. Men who are faithful. Men who are churchgoers. Men who tithe. Men who have character. Men of their word. Men with a backbone. Men with courage. Men who are consistent and steady. Men who persevere. Someone said, if at first you don't succeed, destroy all evidence you ever started. We need some men when things get tough to work through things and finish the task. Easy to birth a child, perhaps. Get that kid all the way through college, not real easy. Easy to say, I do. Hard to work through all the in-between. If it was that easy, everybody would be doing it. Life is hard. God give us some men who will be faithful and men who will be the example, patriotic, who still stand and put their hand over their chest. Burns me up. You can just say it. It's online. Here it is. Here's a woman gets caught with drugs in Russia where they actually prosecute people. They have rules and prosecute people. She's in prison, and all of a sudden, she's a basketball player. Not going to name her name. Not even going to refer to her. But all of a sudden, there's an evil person we have in prison. We got to swap him for her. And now she's back and not sure how she feels about our national anthem. When we did everything we could to get her back on American soil. We need some people that'll just stand up. We're not here to boo and picket people. We just need to make sure that we're doing what we're supposed to be. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. The problem in America is not them, it's us. If we were right, and if we were what we ought to be and faithful and in God's house and doing what we're supposed to, God would do something in our hearts. We can point all we want to. It's the gays. It's the communists. It's the president. It's the vice president. It's our governor. It's, hey, and point at a lot of people. But remember, there's three fingers point back at you. It's not just the White House. It's my house and your house. It's not just the vice president's house. It's the church house. We have to hurry here. We need men who labor, who serve, who can laugh, who can have a good time, who care, who pray. Quickly, Ezra, here's the word for him, humility. You say, why do you say humility? He's not mentioned until halfway through the book. Where's his name? The book is named after him, Ezra. He's not even mentioned. Folks, if we're going to have revival in our hearts, we got to get to the place where our feelings don't get hurt so easily. And stop saying the word, hum. No wonder your back's hurting. Hum. You forgot me. Forgot my name. Forgot my birthday again. Misspelled my name. Didn't remember the anniversary. Didn't put me on the prayer sheet. You didn't do this. Didn't do that. No one picked me for their partner on soul winning. Hey, get over it. The sign doesn't say Hopewell Baptist Nursery. It says church. When I worked for Brother Buchanan years ago, he was not a mercy person. Somebody would come up to him. He was so funny. He was just mean. He was big. He was a thug who was a pastor. And he said he used to steal hubcaps off moving cars that were driving down the street. Now that's pretty tough. People would come up and say, Pastor, such and such, such and such. He'd say, open your mouth. Let me stick a pacifier in your mouth. That was his comfort. We didn't even, hey, ushers, we didn't give out first-time visitor cards. We gave out last-time visitor cards. We knew they'd never come back. Ezra, he was humble quickly. And we'll probably wrap up on this. Chapter 3, verse 2. Then there was an altar. There was an altar. Ezra chapter 3, it says in verse 2, then took up Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and his brethren the priests, and Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and his brethren, and builded the altar of the God of Israel to offer burnt offerings. What's the first thing they did when they came to town? They built the altar. Now remember, the altar, it was called the burnt altar for the burnt offering. it represented Jesus Christ dying and suffering our hell. Burnt offering, the constant fires of hell. And so it was also called the sin altar, or the sin offering. So what's that mean? The first thing they built was an altar, our relationship with God. Amen. That was supreme, more important than the rafters, more important than the floors, more important than anything. Get the altar. Amen. That's why when we built this building and remodeled this part of the auditorium, I said, well, we used to have benches. I said, we want to have stairs that we can use as a place to kneel and still call it an altar. Sometimes we'll say, leave your seat, come to the altar. Lay your burden on the altar. Why? It does represent, in a lot of ways, the altar. Amen. Amen. Now, what's that mean? If the altar was a place that represented sin being judged on Jesus, the biggest thing that'll come between you and your walk with the Lord, you ready? It's always sin.
That's right. So true. Amen. 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 Amen.
Your altar. Your time with the Lord. The well for years. Brother Birdo on Friday nights has been teaching, hey, it's not quit drugs and quit alcohol and quit this. It's get a walk with the Lord and it'll fall off of you. You get close to the Lord and it's going to be, this fellowship is so sweet. Why would I want that? Amen. Why would I want that sin when this is so wonderful?
Amen.
It affects everything. Your time with the Lord. It'll affect who you hang with. What you do this summer. If you put on clothes or not this summer. It'll give you a backbone. It'll make you a soul winner. It'll give you wisdom, joy, strength. It'll help you know God's will for your life. So let me ask you a question. Amen. How's your altar? Well, me and my parent, I'm a teenager pastor. We just don't get along, my parents and me. How's your altar? Mm-hmm. Say, what do you mean? Describe to me your Bible reading every day. I'm not a good reader, okay? So you don't have an app? That means APP. It's kind of hard to spell an app. You know, you hit a button on the phone, the Bible reads to you itself. No, we don't have one of those. Can't afford it. You don't have a cassette player. You don't have a CD player. You don't have a little sibling who you can pay a dollar to read you something. Hey, you can set aside all excuses. All of us can hear or read the Bible every day if we want to.
Amen.
I don't own a Bible. They're a dollar at Walmart. I'll buy you one. Here we are. We live in America. If anyone ought to have a walk with the Lord, it ought to be us. Now, what's the greatest thing? You have to have a time and a place. You know what I missed when my wife was in the hospital? Seeing her sitting on that couch with Bible in hand and a prayer book with names of people to pray for. I'd always hear her. She'd open her Bible. Siri, set timer for 1 hour. She's reading for an hour. I'd go by that couch when she was in the hospital and say, boy, I wish I'd give anything to have her back sitting on that couch with her Bible.
Amen.
When she finished her IVs and got healthy enough, there's my wife on the couch with her Bible and her little colored pencils. I hid them all. I gave her all black ones. Now she can't understand the Bible. It's all. She didn't know. All the drugs. You know what that does to me? I look at her and I admire her. It makes a difference in a marriage. Because when you're listening to him, he's talking. And when he's talking and you're listening, relationships get better. It's not all this. Is not, is to, is not, is to. It's your fault, your fault, your fault. You always, you never. Those things leave. It's the altar. Where do you pray? How much are you reading? We're not saying you have to read the whole Bible in a month, but there's got to be a plan. And I'll tell you this. You find anyone tonight who used to be in this pew who used to be involved, teaching Sunday school, in the choir, driving a bus mechanic. You find anyone that was involved who's now sitting at home drinking a beer, watching television right now. Tell you where it started. Their Bible reading, their prayer time. They left the number one piece of equipment, the altar. So there's Ezra. He says, we're coming back to build the temple. Starts with the altar. Let's be in one of those groups. Who's the other group's pastor? I don't have time to go into it. The leader, the men, the singers, the children, the servants, all these groups. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Bible.